Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Friday the 13th. That's right, August 13th, 2021. And here today on the show, we are talking about episode 16 of The Bad Batch, Kamino Lost. That's right, it is the end of Kamino as we know it, my friends. So we're going to be diving into this episode here. So if you've not watched episode 16 yet of Star Wars The Bad Batch, that's what this episode's all about. It's our final Bad Batch Friday until season 2 next year. So please, stop what you're doing. Go watch the episode. Come on back and join in this conversation. Now, of course, as always, I want to know your thoughts on the episode. Hit me up on Twitter at Mark Turk, M-E-R-K-T-U-R-C. Or, of course, you can always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. Well, part 2 of the season 1 Bad Batch finale here has come and gone now. And I got to tell you, man, like, what a season, number one. I think it really kind of set the tone for Star Wars animation as to where it could go. I mean, obviously, we had kind of the final episodes of the Clone Wars, but this really said, hey, this is a new era of Star Wars animation, and I think they did a great job with it. You know, this finale, you know, I'm not going to say that it was amazing, mind-blowing, oh my God. I think it served its purpose for what we needed it to do. But what it really did do was kind of just carry this heavy tone kind of all throughout it. I don't know if you guys felt that when you watched it. Number one, the music was incredible throughout this. You know, we kind of talked last episode kind of towards the end there when, you know, those final couple minutes there when, you know, the shots were basically being fired at the Kamino clone facilities. And they kind of had those couple shots of kind of just the abandoned spaces on there, and you know, those couple was like four or five kind of just still shots of the inside, you know, these places that we've seen not only in episode 2 but kind of here throughout kind of this series, and knowing that it's kind of the end. And you know, this is something that we knew happened in the Star Wars world, right? That sure, Kamino probably got destroyed at some place. We never really go back there. We know it's not there anymore. But to see it and to see it through the eyes of not only the Bad Batch, but, you know, I mean, I guess Omega's part of the Bad Batch, but through Omega, you know, that was really kind of the heavy thing in this, and kind of have it kind of track her through most of the beginning of this episode and through most of the episode, her and AZ kind of just scrambling to get off this facility with the Bad Batch, you know, kind of in tow as well. But for me, it was really her that I was kind of invested in through a lot of this episode, because they really kind of pushed that. And, you know, even at the end, when you kind of see her standing there taking that moment, the final moment, to kind of just look at those flames off in the distance before she gets on the Marauder, and know that that was her childhood place, right? That's where she grew up. That's where she was created. That's where she has so many memories, all of her memories, you know, outside of the last couple months here with the Bad Batch. Her whole life was there. You know, I mean, we saw her experience putting her feet on solid ground for the first time, right, on dirt. She never experienced that. We saw that in the beginning of the season. And to have all that destroyed for her really was a big deal. And I think they really kind of drummed that home. Now, kicking off the episode as well with the facility, I mean, the majority of this facility was, or episode was, the facility obviously crashing into the ocean and them trying to escape it. Her and Crosshair's relationship in this episode, you know, it kind of struck me as I was watching it, like, because I've said it before, like, there's no way Crosshair could be redeemed, right? There's no way that they can really, everything that he's done, as much as, you know, he says it's his choice, and we know he doesn't have the inhibitor chip, and so, you know, theoretically, he could choose to be good. I was just like, you know what, there's really no way. You know, he hasn't done anything on the level of Kylo Ren, and we talk a lot of times how Kylo Ren wasn't able to be redeemed, but yet somehow they did it, right? So I guess, you know, that alone, they Crosshair could be redeemed, right? You redeemed Kylo Ren, you could redeem Crosshair. But I just, in my head, was like, there's really no, I don't understand, you know, I don't think Hunter could convince him, you know, Tech or Echo or Wrecker, nobody's going to be able to convince him. But Omega is the one that probably could, you know? And I think in the beginning, when I saw her basically saving him, I was like, oh, that's what they're going to do. So, but by the end, you know, even though they had some conversation throughout it, and, you know, even, you know, Hunter even, you know, him and Crosshair having a good conversation back and forth. You know, at one point, what's he say? He says, like, you know, soldiers follow orders. And Hunter says, well, at least, you know, the soldiers at least protect their squad. You know, that in itself, that banter, sure, what Hunter is saying makes sense. I don't think that's enough to convince Crosshair. But, you know, Omega saving his life seemed to be that way. But then Crosshair, in the end, you know, he pulls up that gun, which, by the way, I mean, just using his skill of incredible shot, you know, skills of being able to just be a sniper and take anything out. I throw out the ridiculousness of being able to see through the water, however many hundreds of feet down. Was pretty epic, man. Like, I was like, oh my God, he's going to shoot Hunter. Like, really? That's where we're going? No, he actually was shooting AZ to kind of pull him up, which, by the way, like, look, as cool as that was and awesome, how do we get through here with nobody dying? Like, look, I'm not asking that I wanted somebody to die, but, like, and I know it's a kid's show, but, you know, Star Wars was for kids and we had multiple characters kind of die throughout it. Like, I don't know. Maybe that was the way to go, right? Because I probably would be here on this microphone crying right now to you guys if Omega or even Wrecker. I started thinking, like, are we going to lose Wrecker in this episode? Like, is Wrecker maybe going to die? But hey, Omega and Crosshair are now even, right? Crosshair saved not only Omega's life, because I don't think Omega was going to be making it up either, man. I mean, she went pretty far down. Saved AZ's life. And so now they're even. I thought that was great. And, you know, having that moment at the end when they finally get to the Marauder and they all get on the ship and then her and Crosshair are kind of just out there and she's walking back and then Crosshair says, now we're even. And you know, she says, you know, they're always going to be your brothers. Like, no matter what choices you make, no matter what you do, you're all still brothers. Like, you're all family, right? What's Vin Diesel say? We're family, right? Remember all the Vin Diesel memes here around F9? I don't know where they go now. Like, that's the only thing now. I'm like, wait a minute. So Crosshair literally has nobody. The Bad Batch leaves. They essentially leave him on Kamino. And then the Empire wants nothing to do with him. Who is he going to call? Is he going to call Rex? No, Rex isn't going to come save him. Like, is Gregor going to come? No. I mean, the only one is his name Wolf, the other clone trooper that we haven't seen yet that we see in Rebels. Like, maybe him, because we haven't seen him in this episode. Maybe. Is that how Boba Fett comes into the fold? Does Crosshair maybe, because of his relationship with the Empire, and, you know, you would assume that Boba Fett still was kind of sided with the Empire. Just, I mean, we know there's a relationship with bounty hunters from what we see in The Mandalorian. Is he maybe able to get off through that? Does he have, like, a direct line to Boba? Like, I don't know. Do we even want Boba in the series? Kind of a couple questions there, kind of left out hanging. Now, of course, the ultimate ending of Nala Se going into that facility brings up again kind of my theory of either somebody. Well, I want to say maybe kind of trashes my theory of maybe there's somebody out there trying to create clone, like another clone army. No, the Empire clearly are using Nala Se for to bend their will, which, you know, the argument could be to create Snoke, that type of thing. But I don't think that's really what it is. I mean, I guess maybe it could be, and that he was kind of a failed experiment of it. But I think, you know, Grogu, what we see in The Mandalorian, we know, again, there's a clone scientist in that first season. His name is escaping me right now. But they want to somehow create clones using Grogu. And I don't know if it's necessarily to create literally Grogu clones. I think it's more to be able to pull the Force into these mutations, because Nala Se has the knowledge not only to manipulate mutations, but also, like, enhance them. So if she's able to somehow manipulate a Force mutation and then manipulate that and make someone that much stronger, I mean, that's a hell of a clone you could come up with. So I think that's where this is all going. I think that's the Disney/Dave Filoni path for the story that's being told here over these couple of years, is we're getting Grogu, obviously, the Mandalorian with the clone scientists here. We're getting the Bad Batch here, which now we've destroyed the Kaminoan cloning facility. Now we're getting Nala Se captured by the Empire, getting, you know, whatever she's going to end up creating, which I think ultimately, now the more I think about it, is probably going to ultimately end in the creation of Snoke, and that he's kind of the you know, whatever they were able to actually create, you know, that they were able to, because really he can, he does use force powers, right? Don't we see that? I'm trying to think. I mean, we do when he kind of throws a lightsaber and pushes or holds up Rey, you know, in Last Jedi. I mean, we get that, right? Or no. Yeah, Last Jedi that was in. So we know he does have force powers, force abilities. So, you know, maybe he is kind of the ultimate creation, and we're getting kind of the Snoke origin story through all of this. You know, many people have said before, like, Snoke kind of looks a little Kaminoan mixed with a human a little bit now when you kind of look at it that way. So maybe that is kind of Nala Se's, the end product of her work with the Empire, whether it's, you know, intentional or not. You know, I mean, I don't think she obviously is doing it wanting to do it. I mean, she's being forced to do this by the Empire. I think that's the story we're getting told here over these next couple of years, is from the Mandalorian to the Bad Batch. And, you know, now where does the next season of the Bad Batch go? I mean, that's kind of the big question. Like, do they find out Nala Se is still alive? Because I got to tell you, I think if Omega found out that Nala Se was still alive, she's going to want to get and find her. She's going to, you know, do whatever she needs to do. I mean, we've seen what she's done with AZ, her attachment to Hunter. I mean, hell, even her attachment to Crosshair, because she even says to him at the end, like, they're your brothers and you're my brother too, right? And so she's going to want to save anybody who's related to her, even though Nala Se isn't necessarily blood. She's essentially her mother, right? I mean, she was her mother figure while on Kamino. So I think if they learn that she's alive, that she's going to want to go do it now. You know, potentially you can have maybe somewhat of a clone uprising, maybe even, to kind of combat the TKs. I mean, we kind of know the end result of that. It's not going to go so well. You know, I don't know if that's where they're going to go next. You know, I mean, I think we're going to have the Bad Batch probably hook up with Rex. I think Rex and Gregor and eventually Wolf are going to kind of play a little bit more in the next season. And then, you know, it even brings you to the idea of, okay, well, what are we going to see in Ahsoka and that series? Are we going to get maybe somewhat of a, I mean, we're already learning about the potential casting of Sabine Wren. So that's going to be more of a post Rebels. So that may even kind of tie in, you know, a little bit more of this. I don't know, man, the sky's kind of the limit, but overall loved this season. You know, I, you know, did kind of get a little bit away from the story at times, but in the end, like, I do enjoy just kind of those one-off Star Wars stories. To be able to get a story told in the Star Wars world every single week is great. You know, it's just awesome to be able to experience that. And I'm all there for it. So, all right, well, let's wrap it up there, guys. Let me know not only your thoughts here on the finale, but of course just on the Star Wars The Bad Batch season one. What were your overall thoughts? What are your takeaways? What are your theories as to where it can go next? Please let me know. Hit me on Twitter at Marturka, MARKTURC, or of course, you can email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. So until next week, everybody, have a great weekend. And until then, we'll catch you next time.